American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, February 8th, 2005. And being your source for independent media, for the news that will give you the edge against corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And don't forget, you can read along with me by going to my live journal, and you know it'll be time to turn the page when I say something to the effect of, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in New York. So it seems that right now I am currently sitting inside my hostel. Well, it's not my hostel. It's the hostile. Actually, the hostel here in New York is the Hostel International New York, HI New York. Is there more than one hostel in New York? I don't know. Is there more than one of these things? I guess this is the only one. And I'm hanging out with Sim and Marcus from Germany, but I don't know if Marcus is going to say anything because he looked a little bit tripped out and he probably doesn't want to get... I probably shouldn't even use your name. Oh, no. Is Marcus a common name in Germany? Is there a lot of Marcuses in Germany? Because I don't know your last name, so we're okay. I don't think anyone will be able to... Do you want to say something just to prove that you're here? No, he's going to chicken out. So I guess... Well, they can't hear you, Sim.
Hi.
There we go. Perfect. That's all you get to say. So, let's go over what happened here. I guess my live journal posting, I haven't been able to get any Wi-Fi mail because we haven't gone down and downloaded my email, which would have given me the stories. So we're not going to do the stories. I guess what I'll do is I'll download mail tonight after we record the show when we're uploading. But for right now today, we're going to let you know how everything happened with moi at the college. So let's see now. We only got one microphone. You got to understand that I'm sitting on the floor in a hostel right next to a big iron burn mark on the floor and a bottle of baby oil, which is underneath the bunk beds, which kind of freaks me out a little bit that there's a bottle of baby oil underneath. Is that actually a bottle of baby oil? What the hell is that? It is, in fact, a bottle of Johnson's baby oil. Now, why would you have a clinically mildness proven bottle of Johnson's baby oil under the bunk bed at the hostel? Dun, 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 dun. I'm a little bit afraid of that. So we'll just put that right back, just in case, you know, somebody's using it for something, and I'm going to go have a shower. But, so let's see, what did we do today? Let's start with the weekend. Of course, I was working on Friday, and then, you know, came back in, had the day on Saturday to pack, get everything sorted out, after working Friday night at Fight Club, of course. And then on Saturday night, we went and, Saturday, we spent the day packing, which, of course, coming to New York, I forgot my global positioning system. And I forgot, what else did I forget? We forgot the GPS, and I forgot what else. I said there was something else I forgot. Well, my key for my lock, which is attached to my, you know, hatch bag, but I didn't happen to have that. So then, anyway, I finally managed to rack out, get some sleep at about 12:30 at night. We got up at 4:30 in the morning, and we had to be at the airport for 3 hours prior from the flight out. So then I picked up Sim at 5:30. We hit the airport at 6, and we waited the 3 hours, went through the special check. Going through customs was a lot of fun. Let's see what happened. Sim, why don't you talk about your customs experience, and then I'll talk about my customs experience.
Of course, going through customs is very nerve-wracking, no matter where you are at the airport or going through the border, of course. So everything's going fine, and I go to the little booth that he looks at my passport and looks at the piece of paper that I fill out beforehand while we're standing in line, says, how much goods are you bringing, and all these leading questions that are going to get fines if you fill them out wrong. And so I bring that up to the guy, and he's like, so where are you going? And I go, New York. He's like, that's not what it says on your sheet here. I'm like, yeah. In my head, I'm going, it is on my sheet. I wrote NY, New York. And I'm like thinking, okay, what answer does he want? I'm going to New York. I wrote down New York. And so I say Chicago, because that's the stop off for a little bit before we go to New York. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's where we are going next, right? Because it's on the ticket, the first ticket that we give to them. That's our neighbor. And so, and I say Chicago, and he's like, that's not what it says on your, that's not what it says here. I'm like, okay, those are the only two places we are going. New York, Chicago. Only places. What the hell does this guy want me to say? And then I say the name of the airport we're landing at. And that's still, he says, that's not what it says on the sheet. Well, what was the airport in New York that we landed at? I can't remember what it was. But it was the airport we landed at. And that's, he still didn't like that answer. So I'm like peering over the table at what I wrote down. And that's where we stayed for the hotel. That's what he wanted. And I'm like, what the fuck? We're going to New York, okay, man? That's what I wrote down. He wanted exactly where we were staying. It's like, that's not what he asked me, though. He asked me, where are you going? So that was very stressful, because I thought I was going to be taking a little room for answering wrong for this guy. That was really, really annoying. But other than that, it went pretty smooth. That really freaked me out. And then I made it through, and I'm waiting for Sean, and I'm like, Sean's not going to make it through. I just know Sean's not going to make it through. Something is going to go wrong, because I warned him before going. Sean, you don't have any knives, do you? I know he packs like 50,000 knives all over his body, between his toes and every orifice he can find, right? So I'm like, Sean, don't bring anything sharp, not even sharp things. Get all your knives out of your pockets, everything. So I'm waiting for, you know, Sean to go into the little room somewhere, because I know he's not going to make it. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And an alarm goes off. I'm like, yeah, that's Sean. I just know it's Sean. The alarm is going off, and Sean is not here. It's for Sean. And eventually I see him come around, and he's like, oh, God, thank God he made it, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be waiting here. Look kind of suspicious. What am I waiting for? So, but he made it through, and he can tell that part of the story.
And it's true. I actually didn't have to even answer anything wrong. The guy took one look at me and my high and tight flap top, which I've dyed sort of a mildly black with a slightly blue tinge if you catch it in the right kind of light. I went to go see Ray. Anyone in Vancouver wants to go see Ray on West 4th, because, you know, that's the good shop. And got my flat top. And Ray on West 4th, Ray's barbershop called, I think it's called, what's it called, West 4th Barbers? Or yeah, it's right on West 4th down there. And I think it's called Kitsilano Barbers. That's what it is. It's called Kitsilano Barbers in Vancouver. So if ever you want a flat top and go to the, I'm serious. Yeah, I've been all over Vancouver, all over better part of BC. And the best place to get a flat top in that province, okay, is at Ray's. You want to get Ray. It has to be Ray who does it. No, it's Ray's shop. He's the owner of the store, and he's been doing flat tops since Christ was a cowboy. So he's the man when it comes to he's the flat top king of Canada so far. I haven't found anybody better, which is unfortunate because it's like about an hour's trip for me to go down and get Ray to cut my hair, which is a big bitch every 2 weeks to have to go down and get this guy to cut your hair. So anyway, I went down, get my hair cut, and going through the airport, buddy like takes one look at me. At the custom shot, I'm like, I'm trying to dress all like Jason Bourne. I got the dark colors on the go, you know, I just got the leather bomber jacket, flat top hair, you know, I look kind of militant. The army, you know, Americans like army people, you know, I figured they'd be into that, you know, they're into the, you know, I'm all going, you know, so that I figured I'd be through, you know, no trouble. But no, he's like, you're going to need to go into the other room there. And I'm like, fuck. So I go into the other room, which is the special room. And then the largest black man I've ever seen in my life comes out of the little booth. And he's got like, he totally looks like the giant, you know, black customs guy. He's huge, right? And he's got the shaved head going on. And he's like, luckily it's fairly early in the morning and he really doesn't look like he gives a fuck. You know, he's really doesn't care. So he's like, can you open your bag, please? So I'm like, I'll open my bag. Now, the funny thing is, of course, on top of my bag is like, I packed my bag last night in a rush, but nevertheless, I managed to roll up all my kit. So you unzip your bag, and there's like this black computer case, another black case for wires, and all my clothing rolled up in bed rolls, and all military style. And on top of all my clothing is like my Emerson Stryker, and this is because we haven't checked it into, this isn't carry-on, this is my luggage, and we haven't even looked at my carry-on yet. So I got my, like, all this, like, really high speed gear. I got my Reputer watch from Japan. I've got all this kit, like James Bond style, laid out on the top of my hatch range bag that I'm using as my luggage, right? So he looks at this and he picks up the Reputer watch and he's kind of looking at that a little bit, but doesn't even turn it on. He's just like, got any alcohol or tobacco? No, sir. Where are you going? New York. What are you going to do in New York? I'm hoping to go to Coney Island. Oh yeah. And I'd like to go to Ground Zero too. That'd be cool. How much money you got? I said, I guess we got about $1,000. You know, between me and my buddy, we're going to go down there and check it out. You traveling alone? No, I got a buddy. And we got about $1,000 between the two of us. When are you coming back? Thursday. Yeah, we'll be back on Thursday. We're just going to be down there a couple days. And we'll be coming back. You got any alcohol or tobacco? And I'm thinking, didn't you just ask me that if I have any alcohol or tobacco? Did you not just ask me that? You know, but of course, you know, the guy could say cluck like a chicken. And I'd be like, dance on one foot. You know, I mean, I'll do whatever this guy wants. You know, blow me. All right. You know, seriously, whatever is required. So I got to get on. Yeah, this is customs, and customs can nail you in the ass. Okay, they can they can shoot you. They'd be like, I don't like you. Bang, thud. You know, you know. Yeah, they shot two other Canadians. You know, just before I'm in there, I'm like in there and they're dragging these Canadians out. You know, I'm like, oh shit. You know, I don't want to go talk to those guys. So whatever. And then he asked me, you got any alcohol, tobacco? And I pretend like I've never heard the question before, even though less than four breaths ago, he asked me the same freaking question. And I'm like, even if I did have some alcohol or tobacco, do you think my mind would be so incredibly feeble that I'd be like, yeah, oh no, I mean, no, I don't. But anyway, I said, no, sir, I've got no, okay. And that was it. He didn't even look at my Thermite Versi pack, which looks surprisingly like a holster bag, and he didn't even notice it. Not even a statement about it. So anyway, I pack all my kit back up, and I guess he made me as a wannabe, right? He asked me, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a security guard. And then he had that look on his face like, oh, you're one of those wannabe sick, you know, whatever, you pathetic loser. Like, everyone thinks security guards are pathetic losers, and I'm okay with that, you know, it's fine. And I'd rather have the customs guy think I'm a pathetic loser. I'll, like, grovel and whack myself on the floor and say, okay, you're obviously not a threat, and you're allowed to come into the country, right? So that's what I figure. So we get through the customs, and I come out of customs, and I'm looking for Sim. I can't find Sim anywhere. And I'm like, where the hell is Sim? And I didn't know. I'm like, has he already gone through? Okay, I guess I'm going to go through. So then I go through at the end, make it through there, and it's a big tearful reunion on the other side there. I'm like, Sim, you made it! You know, it's like you'd think we were crossing, you know, the big wire or something, you know, in North and South Korea. There's, you know. And so anyway, we get through there, and we get on the plane. So we have a wonderful, actually, no, I have to talk about the ophthalmologist, you know. And he wasn't an optometrist, he was an ophthalmologist, which is, like, I guess, way bigger than just your regular, you know, homeschool, you know, sort of your lower income optometrist class. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So this guy comes up, and we have an empty seat beside us, and he comes up, and he made contact first. I didn't say a thing to this guy, okay? He comes up and he goes, I can't believe this. And he sits down, and he's like, they told me the plane was half empty. And I'm like, okay, this guy's, and he's kind of got that vacant, I'm half talking to myself look in his eyes, you know, like the guy who spent like 4 days like in the airport. What's that show with that guy who got trapped in the airport in France? What the hell's his name? Oh, damn, we can't remember it. But anyway, you know the one I'm talking about, the dude who was trapped in the airport. Anyway, he had this vacant, crazy airport eyes going on. And he goes, yeah, I can't believe this. And I'm like, really, what's going on? He said, they told me the plane was half empty, and now it's like standing room only, and it's like totally full. I can't believe this. It's crazy. It's insane. And I'm like, dude, if all you're worried about is the plane and you think that's like out of control, like, buddy, you know, you got to do some more traveling, but whatever. And he says, he comes over, he goes, you know, and the security here is pathetic. You know, they weren't even looking at the scanners when they're scanning. And I'm like, what, did you want to get the rubber glove treatment? Did you get off on that shit or whatever? I might be hiding something. Take me in the back room. You know, like, holy shit. I guess it takes all kinds to make the world, you know, but whatever. So I'm like, oh, really? And he goes off and he says, well, you know, he started talking about, well, the terrorism, you know, is everywhere. And he starts going off about terrorism, you know, the terrorists, right? And I said to him, I said, well, you know, you haven't actually had a terrorist attack in the last 6 years in your country, have you? I mean, there's just the 9/11 thing, you know? I mean, there hasn't been another one, has there? I mean, there's a lot of fear, a lot of people talking about terrorism. No attacks. Where's the attacks, you know? And Well, that's because we're killing them all. Well, you're killing somebody, I'll tell you that. Yeah, you're killing people, no doubt. I don't know if they're terrorists so much, you know. I don't really think, you know, the women and children and shit are probably too terrorist-like, but that's cool. That's cool, you know. They're terrified. There's definitely some terror going on there. You know, these people are definitely shitting their pants, I'll tell you that right now. And if they were thinking about terrorists, you know, if once you kill their parents and stuff, they're probably not going to be all, you know, their Uncle Sam is not so much the uncle anymore, you know. It's probably... Yeah, maybe, yeah, in the bed, you know, show me on the doll where Uncle Sam touched you. And it's just not cool, you know. So I say to him, I go, you know, well, you know, there's been no terrorist attacks. He's like, that's because we killed them all. And that's what he said. And I said, well, you know, we, up here in Canada, we're not really too concerned about it. And then he says to me, and Sim's in right there, he goes, that's because all the terrorists are hiding in Canada. And I look at him like, what? And he goes, well, your immigration is so lax, you just let anybody in. And I'm like, yeah, because we're Canada. We don't give a shit. We're about beer and skiing, man. And nobody hates us. We liberated Europe, dude. Like, what do you want? We go over there, people buy us beer. You know, nobody's stressed. We don't have an army. It's all good. You know, hey, it's Canada. You know, what the hell? You know, everybody loves Canadians. You know, we don't fuck with anybody. It's all good. So he's like, yeah, they're all hiding in Canada because your immigration policy is so lax. And I'm like, mm-hmm. All the terrorists are in Canada now. Now, understanding that I'm flying to the country that this guy is from, you know, so he's going to New York and I'm flying to New York, and I'm very quickly coming to the conclusion that this ophthalmologist, who's, it's kind of ironic actually that a man who surgically works on eyes can't see anything very clearly. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, I guess that's a viewpoint. And you guys don't even have an army. Like, what do you got? Like 10 guys with pop guns? And I'm like, wow, I should punch you in the face. You know, I did 3 years. Why don't you, you know, piss up a rope shit pump? But whatever, you know. So I let it go. I let it slide because we're in an airport and I don't want to get, you know, I'm actually on American soil now because, you know, I'm in America because I'm at that port of the airport that says America. And, you know, and I don't want to get in shit. So whatever. So the ophthalmologist, you know, and he kept on. That was a weird thing, you know, when we're talking to him. He keeps kind of drifting off, you know, and his eyes keep kind of glazing over and doing like the ophthalmologist 10,000-yard stare. I'm like, where'd you do your degree, pal? Vietnam or what? Like, look at you. You're all like twisted out. Yeah, you know, and the terrorists, ghost, you know, psh, you know, you can almost hear the gunfire in the background, you know, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? You know, like, I think you need to ease up on the Diet Coke and the Prozac there, chief. So he's like, you know, he does his thing. And then he wanders off, you know, complaining about his shoes and stuff, and off he goes, you know. So that was his gig. And then we jump on the plane, and of course, this is actually, we didn't actually get a real plane. We got a Fisher-Price plane. The plane we flew on was this amazingly stubby plane. Like, I've had bunk beds bigger than this plane was, man. It was bad. Our knees were like my ass, like I've lost a lot of weight, but my ass still didn't fit in the seat. Sim's ass didn't fit in the seat, and he doesn't have an ass. It's like, it's ass-free. There's no actual seating. It was just like a post, you know, and with that you had to tuck your knees under the chin. So we're in this for 3 hours until we fly down to the airport in Chicago. O'Hara International Airport in Chicago, which is a big airport. So we get off there, you know, we taxi, we stop, jump out, and we, of course, we don't want to wander out of the airport because then we have to go deal with the rubber glove. Yeah, I've had my fill of rubber glove customs, so I'm like, I guess I'll just hang out here. And we go foraging for food. And then after traveling down the weirdest set of light, they got these people mover lights in O'Hara International Airport with these neon lights overhead. It's like this long hallway. Imagine a hallway like no word of a lie, like 1,000 feet long. And you got like these neon lights that are all like bent neon metal that are all look like, you know, weird Emperor Palpatine lightning that comes from his fingertips, all going along the roof of the ceiling of the people mover thing. And the lights are turning off and on. Are we getting close to the time frame here? Is that like near lights out or what? No, we're good? Okay, good. Well, no, from midnight to 8, you have to be really courteous to your fellow hostelers. Because from midnight to 8. So we're going to wrap this up, do this real quick, and then we'll be done. But anyway, the... the Emperor Palpatine neon lights. So the lights are like turning on. And the really twisted part is that all the walls are made out of these multicolored tile with no message on them at all. There's no advertising. It's just like... You know, these weird colored tiles with this weird lightning going overhead and these weird escalators. It's like totally THX 1138, man. I'm looking at this going, holy crap. You know, it's like, ding, 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 and this music is playing, and we're on these people movers, and I'm like,
okay, this is a little weird to see at an airport, but that's okay. We'll just, you know, accept this. This is the transitional music from one dimension to another, I guess. So we get through there, get to our gate, and of course we have to forage for food. Now, normally foraging for food in an airport is not so incredibly hard. But Sumerian is a vegan, which means that, you know, and we're in America. Like, seriously, when he writes his biography, it has to be called, you know, The Wandering Foragings of a Vegan in America. Because America does not really cater to the vegan so well. I mean, if you're in San Francisco, you're set. If you're in California, you can do a lot with the vegan thing. But, you know, in the middle of the United States, they're like, vegan, you know, and look at you. You know, it's like, so you eat chicken, you know. So, and that's kind of how they are with that. So we found, eventually, a $7 focaccia bread vegetarian sandwich, which luckily only expired the day we bought it. It wasn't like past the expiry date. So the mushrooms were kind of slimy, but that's okay. You know, and we had like the spinach on there. And I, of course, had eaten I made the horrible mistake of eating the food on the Fisher-Price plane, which was actually not really so much bread and omelet and cheese as it was just grease that was molded into the shape of bread, of omelet and cheese, and they put some food dye coloring in. It was really well done, though. I mean, as far as grease sculpting goes, it was really, really nice. And I took, you know, 4 bites of it, and, you know, the pain was still there, so it's like, so I ate the grease, and I'm like, oh my god. So I couldn't bring myself to eat the sausage. You know, the sausage was like, the sausage is turning white. Can someone explain why the sausage is turning white to me? So I'm not touching the sausage. Thanks ever so much. So I eat that. We get dine on the focaccia, and then we jump back on the plane. Now, luckily, the second trip out of where we flew, oh, the football, yes, of course. How could I forget? Because it was Sunday night. The big Sunday night, which was, of course, Super Bowl Sunday. So we're sitting there waiting to board the plane with the Super Bowl on. Now, understand that I have never seen, I've never witnessed a Super Bowl. This is like, I'm Canadian. You know, we watch hockey. You know, occasionally I don't watch sport. I don't like sports anyway, so I don't even watch hockey. But you can't get away from hockey in Canada if you're Canadian. You know, they force it on you. You know, so I'm like, whatever. And I've never understood football at all. Uncle Dak is insane about football. He thinks football is it's God's gift to everything. But me personally, I could give a shit less about football. So I'm thinking, wow, Super Bowl school. I mean, they got a lot of commercials. That's all I know about the Super Bowl is that they got a bunch of funky commercials that they play during the Super Bowl. So that's cool. You know, I'll check. Which we don't get in Canada. So I'm thinking, you know, for once, I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm enslaved. I got all these, you know, crazy TVs all around me in the airport. So I guess I'll watch some of the Super Bowl. But what really got me was not the game. It was the intro to the game, which was just, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, they got the Band of Brothers guys there, and they had two presidents. They had George Bush and Bill Clinton together. I thought they were going to hold hands and kiss. You know, really, because it's like, okay, first of all, George Bush and Bill Clinton are like opposite sides of the spectrum. You know, how can they even stand next to each other? I mean, Bill Clinton and George, like, I'm surprised that, you know, George, this is the old George, not new George. This is King George I, not King George II. So King George I there, he was all like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said something to Bill, and they're all standing. And they're both wearing the same suit, which was a little creepy. You know, and they all, and but W there, no, it wasn't W, it was George Bush, King George I. His tie had stripes. And Slick Willie there, his tie was just red. You know, so that was, I think I got that right. But so I got two presidents. You know, we got Will Smith doing the intro for one football team. Never mind anything. And some dude I've never heard of doing the intro for the other team. And he's all wigging out. And these people are going absolutely batshit insane. They've got, what is it, Alicia Keys? Was that her name? Who, Alicia Keys with the entire, you know, sign language, their eyes are going all these different directions. These kids are, you know, and they got the Ray Charles glasses on, and they're all signing, you know, America the Beautiful. And then, you know, the national anthem wound up being sung. Who sung the national anthem? Who was it who actually sang the national anthem? It was somebody really went into that. It was just crazy singing the national. I thought it was, wasn't Alicia Keys again. It was somebody else. But, you know, somebody went wacko. And during the national anthem, no, it was the choir. They had the combined Air Force, Army, Marines. Like, it was extremely militant. You know, they got the two presidents there. They got everybody. And they got, like, all the vets and the war vets, the people of freedom and the live camera free from Iraq and Afghanistan and Cambodia and all these, like, holy crap. And then they have, like, five F-15 Eagles fly over the field as they're singing the anthem. And I'm like, holy propaganda, Batman. You know, like... Yeah, I'm just like, you know, holy, you know, United States Uber Alice over here, and I'm just like, wow, that's fucking crazy, you know. And I'm looking at this, and there's all these people getting choked up and teary eyed watching this, you know, this flaming propaganda on television. I'm just like, whole, and I'm like, guys, let's keep this shit in perspective, okay? When Canada won the World Cup of hockey, okay, in the Olympics, okay, because that's the heavy shit, okay. Yeah, we were the world championships, and Wayne Gretzky was standing up in the stands going, fuck yeah! And the camera's right on him, too, when he did it. And it was like, he totally mouthed it. He's like, fuck yeah! You know, he's just wigging out. But, you know, and it was a big day. It was a big day, you know? And, but, I mean, it wasn't, like, the slack-faced motherfucker there, what's his name? The Canadian dude. I'm talking out the side of my mouth, John Chrétien. Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, he phoned down and was talking out of his left side of the mouth into the phone. How's it going? I'm very happy that you won the hockey game because we enjoyed the hockey here and you're all very good hockey players and they were the best in the world and we've taken it back home thanks to you, the great hockey players of hockey players of Canada. So I'm like, well, that's handy, you know, and that was it. And I thought that was pretty over the top, you know, to have the Prime Minister give you a call. But holy sweet thunder and fuck, man, to have two presidents. You know, and what did they do? They stood there. Dun, dun, dun. And then the weird thing was, here's the twisted thing. They had four kids who were nobody. Just these four future prospects for the NFL. And they did a coin toss. And the one kid couldn't even toss the coin. The coin didn't actually flip in the air. It sailed up perfectly horizontal and landed. Perfectly horizontal, you know. And I personally think they should have made the kid retoss it, because the kid's obviously a football fan. He's got the team he wants to win, so he's going to go, and I play football, so I know who's got the advantage, so I'm just going to throw this up flat. I'm holding on. So I think it was rigged. I think that coin toss was rigged by that fucking 12-year-old, you know, that little prick through the game, you know. They should replay that, because that was gone, you know. And then, you know, he tosses this weird gold commemorative coin, which God knows what happened to that. I guess they must have made a coin for the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was the Super Bowl coin that gets flipped, and it was anointed by the Pope, and he kept it in it. You know, he had a respiratory attack and held it, and his dying breath was to bless the coin that was going to be used in this fucking football game. And I'm looking at this going, Jesus Christ, man. And everyone's freaking the fuck out over this football game. You know, they're all like, So then luckily, you know, after, you know, 2 minutes a game, 5 minutes commercials. 2 minutes a game, 5 minutes commercials. And the most hideous debasement of Burt Reynolds I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Burt Reynolds declared bankruptcy not too long ago. The guy's, like, totally broke. I guess Lonnie Anderson took him to the cleaners and just fucked the guy. And now he's doing a commercial for FedEx where he gets kicked in the nuts by this dancing bear. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, Burt, it's just demeaning to see Smokey and the Bandit get kicked in the nuts by some bear. You know, I'm like, oh, man, this sucks ass. So, after that, you know, the game started, and they're like, okay, go, smack, somebody falls down, restart. Go, smack, somebody falls down, restart. And I'm like, I don't see a point to any of this at all. It's like, run, stop, run, stop, run, stop, run, stop. Why don't you just fucking run with the ball, guy? Like, don't stop, just run. Oh, there's all these linebackers. I'm like, fuck off, you know? Like, one guy threw one guy. He did, like, a hip toss thing, but his knee touched the ground. I guess you can't touch the ground with the knees in football. I guess that's off. Yeah, rugby seems a little bit better. Well, rugby, yeah, the way they stop fights in rugby is they just play on. You know, that's some badass shit in rugby. I mean, they don't got the padding and nothing, and you got all these guys. So, whatever. So, the Super Bowl, we catch a couple ads, and I'm like, you know, and I really didn't think the ads were all that shit hot. They weren't all that fantastic. There was a couple that were kind of witty, and that was about it. So, we get on the plane. Now, we're on the new plane. Now, the new plane kicked ass, but of course, it's only like an hour and 50-minute flight. And I want to put my seat back, but I can't, because we got 6 million planes in front of us on the runway. Every other plane in the fucking airport got to take off before we did, you know. And I'm like, thank God, you know, the airport isn't going to explode or something, because we'd be, like, still on the runway when the airport explodes. But whatever. We had 10 planes in front of us. No shit. Like, I'm not making that number up. A million I made up. It's true. But we were sitting in the plane waiting to go on the goddamn runway for half an hour. And the weird thing was that once we were in the air, the guy made up that time. Which makes me wonder, like, what the fuck was he doing? He's like, yeah, bitch, it's on now. You know, and you have that thing redlined the whole fucking way. Yeah, I saw this in Top Gun, man. You just watch this shit. This is the good shit. I was like, whoa. So anyway, every 4 minutes, you know, we're getting the score is now. This is your captain speaking. Which is weird. I don't understand what it is with airline pilots. Captains got to sound like they're stoned. You know, hey, this is the captain. We're looking out the window now. And there's a lot of planes here. And looks like it's kind of cloudy. So we're going to be cruising up to about 35,000 feet. And we're up there. We're going to be checking it out. We're expecting to be in New York in about an hour and a half. Albany in about an hour and a half. And I'll keep you updated on the scores as I get them. Thanks a lot. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's really cool. Most laid-back pilot in existence. Like, every, you know, 10 minutes, like clockwork, the buddy's back on the intercom. And he's like, for anyone who's interested, the score is now tied at 7-7 at the end of the first quarter. Captain out, you know. And that was the announcement, you know. And then, you know, another 4 minutes later, he goes, hey, it's the captain again. And just to keep you posted on the big game, the score is now 14-7. 10 minutes later. The score, for those of you who are interested in the football game, is now tied at 14 at the end of the second quarter, whatever the hell the score was, you know. And this guy's like, I'm like, wow, this is surreal. Luckily, we had we were sitting by the emergency exits on the plane wing. So the stewardess comes up to us and she said, which was really creepy. She walks up to us and says, right, I need verbal confirmation from everyone here. We may be requiring you to help us with the emergency escape procedures on this plane. I need a verbal confirmation from you. And Sim goes thumbs up. And she goes, verbal confirmation, sir. Yes. You know. And I'm like, yep. You know, and then the two guys are like, yes, 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 yes. And everybody, you know, all four people say yes. And we're like, and she's like, thank you. And then she leaves. And then she went to the next row and hit them. And then, and then one chick was really pissed. She's like, I said yes, leave me alone. And then we had like the weird Betty Boop stewardess on that plane too. She's like, who wants pillows? Oh, I mean, Chris was cool. I like Chris. I'm going to remember Chris always. This guy had no vocal presence. Like, you'd think that whoever flies, you know, would be used to speaking on an airplane intercom. This guy was standing in front of the speaker with the microphone, and we had, like, the huge, like, you know, he had to stop every 4 minutes, and he got screwed up, like, five words. Hi, we're happy to have you flying. And he stopped. And he turned the intercom off, and we're like, what the fuck's happening with Chris, right? He goes, hi, this is Chris, and we're happy that you're flying with us here. We're going to be, yeah, flying with Ted. We're on this weird fucking plane, and it's something to do with Ted. And I still, to this day, don't know what the fuck Ted was, but Ted was written on the side of the plane. We were actually in a plane. We were in Ted, which I found to be Ted the fucking plane. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And we were very privileged to be on Ted, yeah. So we go, and we're in Ted, and we're flying. And he keeps on, you know, jumping on the intercom. We're going to be doing a 10 minutes later, you know. It's like, we're going to be doing a demonstration of the it's not a demonstration. It's, you know, another 10 minutes pass. You know, and this guy can't get his shit together. And he comes back on. Yeah, they're going to be talking about safety procedures of the aircraft in case something goes wrong. Not that something would go wrong, but, you know, just in case, you know. And I'm like, wow, Ted, can I get up there and do your fucking job? So he, like, the guy was cool, shaved head, you know, and he was a very cool guy, you know. And he's walking down. He's like, do you guys want any snackies? That's what he said to us. He goes, do you want snackies? And I'm like, arr! You know, yeah, I want some fucking snackies. So he gives me one, and I give it to Sim, right, because I figure he can eat it. But, of course, he reads the contents, which means he can't read it. Yeah, there's milk, and milk in it, so Sim won't eat it. So I take the snackies back, and he looks at me like I'm some kind of a, like, I just took candy from a baby here. You know, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, you can't. And then he gives me another, gives Sim another one. And now we each have one. He goes, do you want some more? And I'm like, arr! So he goes and he tries to give us two more of these packs. And he doesn't know if I should get two because I've already got one. And so eventually, after a few moments of confusion, you know, he hands one to Sim and one to me. And then he runs off, prances off down the plane, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, that's it for Chris. So the flight is, as promised, 1 hour and 50 minutes. And luckily, because we were sitting in the emergency seats next to the exit there, we had some leg room. So I was able to stretch out and get some rack and stuff. I was getting kind of excited, you know, because we're going into New York now. Yeah, we had the middle seat free, and we loaded all our coats and everything into the middle seat. They were giving us a hassle about the coats, yes. Yeah, are those coats? Do you want us to move those coats? No, the coats are fine. Really, because I can put the coats up top. Chris, if you touch this coat, I'll break your fucking arm. Okay? Leave me alone. Chris, thank you. So he's like, he does his thing. You know, we fly there, plane lands, boom, we're out of the airport. And then we hooked up with Jonathan, which is an amazing guy. Super, super cool guy. This guy, he set up the whole New York trip. Drove us everywhere. He drives us out, drives us, you know, all around. And we wound up going to Glen Falls in New York, which is in Queensbury. Or Queensbury surrounds Glen Falls. And Glen Falls is a cool little town. Anybody who's listening from Glen Falls, which I doubt, but whatever. Because the whole town is like in Canada, of course, in Vancouver, we don't really have any old architecture. You know, there are like bar stools in Europe older than my country is. So, I mean, you know, we don't have any old architecture, you know, in Canada. But, you know, down there, there was like all these quasi-Victorian houses. The whole place looked very H.P. Lovecraft, you know, a lot of brickwork, a lot of buildings and stuff like that. It was really cool. And of course, we're driving around at night and with all these old buildings. So it looks like, you know, vampire town, you know, because there's nobody around. There's all these weird monuments and shit. And I'm just like, whoa, you know, checking out the vampire town. So, and we're trying to find food. You know, you think we can find food in this fucking town. And of course, they roll up the streets, and we can't do it. So we decide we're going to go to a supermarket, which is open, which they have like 12 of these bizarre juggalo supermarkets called Price Chopper. And they got like this world with an axe stuck in it, which I thought was really strange for we kill food, you know, here, you pick out the cow and we'll kill it, you know, so whatever. And we go inside, and I'm looking for food, and we can't find anything that you don't have to nuke, so I come up with a bright idea of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, because we can make some PB&J. I, of course, have a knife, so and peanut butter and jelly has no animal products, so Sim can eat it, so I'm like, tight, we're going to go get some peanut butter and jelly. And of course, because I'm land of the free, home of the brave, I'm able to buy beer at the supermarket, so I decide that I'm going to go get myself some Stella Artois, which is my, you know, beer of choice. So I go and grab the Stella Artois, and I go up to the counter to buy this and the peanut butter and jelly. So you got three guys. One guy with a flat top, one dude with another short hair, and this 19-year-old kid dressed in a flight jacket buying peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the middle of the night and beer. You know? And the lady behind the counter, God love her, she's all of about, I don't know, 18 or something like that. She goes, I'm going to need to see ID from everyone. And I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, okay, I'm like 32. That's fine. Whatever. Here you go. And I give her my ID, and she's like, I need to see his ID too, the 19-year-old. Because Jonathan's 19. I'm like, why the fuck do you need to see his ID? She goes, well, because you were talking to him. And that's what she said. You were talking to him, and I don't want to lose my job. So I figure, well, no sense being a bigger prick than I have to be, you know. I'm like, okay. So I put the beer back, and I went and grabbed some cranberry juice, because realistically, I probably shouldn't be drinking beer. Anyhow, I'm to date. I still have not had any fucking beer. Thank you very much. So I'm like, okay, fine. So we pick up the cranberry juice, and we go back to the hotel, and Jonathan drops us off. We go inside. I, you know, painfully use my Emerson Striker, which is totally abuse of that knife, to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I hope Ernest Emerson doesn't know that I used his knife that was designed for close quarters combat to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But whatever. So we made some PB&J, and then we rack. Boom. Crash. So we're down. Next morning, 10:30, we wake up. We got Wi-Fi, which is good, which is when I did my painfully short live journal post for anyone who checked it out today. It's like, I made it to New York, no time, got to go, puff. So 15 minutes, by 10:15 to 10:30, I did that live journal post, out the door. Made it to the university, the college. It was Adirondack Community College. We went up there. That was nice, you know, really nice college, nice people. But it was so surprising because of this nice, quaint little town and everything. You'd think, I was kind of expecting it to be more hickish, you know, really, like no offense or nothing, but I kind of expected people to be a little bit more, I don't know, kind of small towny, you know, but there were so many goths and punks and people walking around with like all kinds of steel in their face and like camouflage and everything. And I'm like, holy shit, you know, I guess this is, you know, that's what a community college is. So that's cool. So we go into the room, the where we're going to be doing the venue there. It was, I can't remember the name of the room, but it was a pretty, it's, yeah, some hall. And it seated about, I'd say 75 people, maybe in there somewhere. And we get in there, we set up shop, and I make a few notes for how to do the gig. And we get a few teachers, the dean of students came in there to check it out. And the guy who was supposed to interview us on the radio station, he came down and checked it out. And we had some, there was some Rant Radio fans who showed up, who drove like 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get to the gig, you know, to check it out, which I was like, holy shit. You know, so I handed out some stickers to those guys, and they were right into it. And another fellow who's, and I can't remember his name, and I'm so sorry. I'm trying to remember what his online name was. It was something like user. It wasn't user. It was, that was Jonathan. I can't remember his name, but he found out. Tinfoil or something like that. I can't remember, dude. And if you're listening to this, I'm sorry that I can't remember. I can't remember any of the other guys' names either. Give me a break, dude. I've been in a car for the last 4 hours, and I thought I'd just... Oh, I'll get to that in a bit. So we do the gig. The show happens. I do the lecture. And it started off a little rough, I thought. But then it picked up speed, and Sim and I were working off each other. And we went. And it happened. I stayed clear of all the really heavy stuff. I didn't want to talk about, you know, the Pentagon or 9/11 or any of that kind of stuff and the mythical plane that hit the Pentagon and all the rest of it. I avoided all of that, you know, and I just kind of kept going with what, you know, sort of the media is the message and the purpose of freedom and free media and why it's important we have somebody who, you know, has a comment or a point that's not directly under the influence of, you know, the core political state, why that is important. And it seems that it was fairly well received. Everyone seemed to like it. And at the claps, we got claps at the end. And one of the dean, he took off, you know, near the end there, because I guess he had something to do. We ran over a little bit, because you got to, if you're ever doing a spoken word thing, you've got to run over. I mean, everybody, Jello ran over, Hank runs over, everybody runs over when they do spoken word. And I got some good questions. You know, people were asking me that the fans who came down from they drove like 2.5 hours. I don't even know where they came from. I suck. They weren't New York. They were going in the opposite direction. And it was really, really cool that they, and the questions they had were like they were writing questions down to ask me and stuff. And I mentioned a few books, and these guys were really, really receptive. And it was great, you know. And we only had about, realistically, we had like about 20, 25 people in the room. And that was cool, you know, in there somewhere. I can't even remember how many people were there. Maybe more, maybe less, whatever. And it was a good time, though. And we had a good push. So I went for about an hour and a half. Which was nothing for me, I mean, because I can't shut the fuck up anyway, so whatever. And I cranked that out, everybody clapped, you know, and a couple people left in the middle of it, you know, which was kind of a, I'm like, whatever, where do you think you're going? Don't you think this applies to you? We're talking about freedom here! So whatever. And they're like, woo! No, but, you know, I can't really do much there. So then I go... We finish up. We go talk to the everybody who was there and handed out a few stickers and got a bunch of photos taken, which is weird. It's weird to have photos taken with you. Sim got hugged. You got a big hug. Somebody goes, "Thank you for everything you're doing." Well, they hug you. Don't. Well, I'm big and imposing. Don't you like being hugged?
No, not by guys. Women, please.
Now, where's the love there? You know, that's the problem with, you know, men, is that we don't hug. You know, we really don't. We should hug more. You know, people in Europe hug all the time, don't they? Marcus says that people hug all the time in Europe. And so you know, strangers are going to go, "Oh, welcome to my country," hug. You know, that's nice. You know, but they're big in that in, like, Leeuwarden and shit like that. But anyway, so I'm like, you know, I'm checking it out. And the whole thing was... a fantastic experience. So then, of course, we go pick up the check from the college. Thank you very much. So it pays for the trip. Thanks so much. And we're able to fly home now. And we jump inside the car and we tool off. And Jonathan, of course, inside this little 2-seater pickup truck, we cram in there with all our gear and all our kit. And we drive like scalded dogs off into the sunset. So we drive off into the sunset and, We get down, we stop at every rest stop because he's got to try to phone home. And I feel really bad for the guy because he's like, got to phone his mom because he can't, she's not home yet and she doesn't know where I am. And I'm driving two strange Canadians who I imported into the country down to, you know, America. And I hope this guy doesn't get shit, incidentally, because Jonathan was, he was responsible for bringing us down there. He looked after us. He provided all our transportation. The guy was just a prince. And then like next to like only 25 people, you know, less than 25 people showed up for this thing. And he was worried, like, oh, they're going to give me trouble because nobody showed up. I'm like, dude, what the hell are you supposed to do? I mean, you're looking after us. You brought us down here. You set the whole fucking thing up. You know, you're our contact. And now you're supposed to, you know, stock the place, do what they want you doing outside. Come on inside and see the crazy Canadians fuck up their lives. You know, like, what are you supposed to do here, you know? And I hope they don't give him shit. So anybody who's listening who happens to be part of the community college, if they happen to tune into the show, please don't give him shit, because the guy did a lot for us. Okay, it was really, really nice what he did. So anyway, we go, we do that. And we drive down, and we drive to New York. We do a couple stops, New York City, and that is where we are right now. And of course, you know, we're driving down here, and the streets here are fucking insane. Like, don't have a car in New York. Like, why would you own a car in New York? It's absolutely wacko. Everybody here should have scooters or bikes, because it's just out of control. And we eventually, after doing multiple loops on one-way streets and trying to factor our way in here, made our way to the hostel where we are currently residing. And while I'm on my way to the hostel where we are currently residing, I make a trip to the bathroom and hooked up with Marcus, which wasn't weird or anything in the bathroom. It was just cool. He was there and we were talking, and he's from Germany, so that's cool. And I said, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, he's been traveling all over the world for the last little while, and it was neat. And now he just came down to the room, and I don't know what he thinks of us now. He probably thinks we're just a bunch of batshit motherfuckers now, but whatever. So we showed up here, and of course, once I hit the hostel, now this is the best part of the whole story, because this is what Sim does, you know. I'm sitting there, you know, at the front. We're checking into the hostel, and they ask for ID, so I go to crank out my passport, which is, of course, in my wallet, okay? But my passport is not in my wallet. And immediately, I shit my pants right there in front of the guy. I'm like, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, da, 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 you know, only stare at the table. Must not wig out in New York. Must not freak out. Must not freak out these hostel people. Otherwise, they won't let us stay here. Blah, 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 blah. So we go, and I got this. I can't find my passport. So we get up to the room. And in getting up to the room, we begin to look for the, you know, the passport. I'm ripping apart my shit, and I'm trying not to freak out. And Sim knows I'm looking for my passport. So what does he do? He turns on the video camera to videotape me looking for my passport. And he does this all the time. If I'm freaking out, like if my wife died, he'd be there videotaping my reaction, because he wants to see, you know, for all the fans out there. It's totally humiliating, because I'm, you know, I'm a person. I have my own privacy and emotions, but Sim doesn't seem to think so. So he turns the camera on me, and I want to punch him right in the face, right? Because he's fucking videotaping me while I'm freaking out. So what do I do? What do? I not freak out, yes. I'm, like, resisting Sim. He's like, freak out, man, freak out. And I'm like, I'm not going to freak out, you asshole. So I'm, like, totally stone-faced looking through my stuff. And I'm like, mur, 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 mur. So then we do that. We set the whole thing up. And it turns out that Sim had my passport in his computer bag. And I think, no. Now, he wants me to tell you that it wasn't in his bag on purpose, but I think it was in his bag on purpose. I think Sim was setting the whole thing up to you. No, honestly, he wasn't setting the whole thing up. I probably had the bag, and we're traveling, and because we're switching bags back and forth as we travel, and it's a laptop bag. So it wound up being in his laptop bag. But I, like, tore my shit apart, like, three times looking for this fucking passport, because, you know, and it was not there because it was in Sim's stupid bag. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So that was it. That was pretty much the we get the passport. We crack out the laptop. We found out there's a Wi-Fi connection downstairs that we might be able to hook onto. What's not when there's not one in the room, which is okay. And that was pretty much our trip. So at the risk of pissing off our roommates any more than we really have to, I'm pretty much gonna sign off here. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring to the forefront, Sim, about the trip? Anything that didn't happen? So just to let you know what's happening, we are looking forward to the rant meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock at 7 o'clock. They know the time. It's on the forum page. We'll try to get that, and I'll see if I can actually get you some news versus my update on the trip tomorrow, because we're going to download all our mail tonight and have that all set up. So until tomorrow, this is, of course, you know, in case anyone cares, this was a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Jesse, Anonymous, Jesse, The Great Ghost, Robert, Forleet, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, WebLife, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Brian, Austin, Tara, lost my place, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Darmude, Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Anonymous, and Philip. And if you would like to keep this daily, well, this is particularly like a live journal post because I haven't really had time to, you know, tick it up. So there was no links for you to click on my live journal. I lied. Sorry. But, you know, just to let you know how things are happening, and hopefully maybe tomorrow we can, maybe we'll record the show on the street or something. Maybe we can get to a cafe and record it. But Sim actually wanted to wander around New York in the middle of the night with the laptop looking for a Wi-Fi connection, and I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. And then he went to go buy a law across the street and got accosted by like 20 homeless people, and he's like, no, we're not going that. As a matter of fact, I'm not going outside without you again, Sean. So, you know, special thanks to anyone, to those guys whose names I cannot remember. If you could please, if you came and saw me in New York, could you send me your names? Because I'd like to read out your names and give you a thank you on the air and give props to that. Because I thought it was really cool that you came out and checked that out. And by the way, if you happen to like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Facelift. That's P-H-A-C-E-A-L-B-U-M. From that's Facelift. No, Facelift album. Yeah, the Facelift. There's a little joke there. Facelift. By and the album is called Path of Pathos, which is an extremely, you know, gothy kind of the Path of Pathos. And if you have any news stories that you want to email me, make sure you email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And do you want to say goodbye, Sim? The donations? I did say. Oh, okay, well, he's jerking me. We only got one microphone. That's why you can't hear Sim, by the way. This is really high speed, what we got going on right now. So if you want to donate, make sure you go to rantmedia.ca, click on the Donate tab, and we'll be able to keep doing this crazy stuff that we are currently doing. So until tomorrow... oh, wait. Do you want to say goodbye? You should say goodbye, at least. Yeah, you get to say goodbye.
Even though I didn't talk, goodbye. And this goodbye from Marcus.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, he did speak. Here you go, Sean.
We should make it multicultural. Can you say goodbye in German?
Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen.
Perfect. Okay, how hokey is that? So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.